away they go. A Bad Think. On and on. It's going up to 24 minutes to 9 o'clock here on Siren 107.3 FM. It's the Madrid Drive Morning Edition. And we have Steve Watson, who actually has already seen Ian Mills pass through the studio. He's waiting. Don't worry, Ian. Steve will be with you in good time. That's the important thing. But as you know, Steve, sometimes the role of a celebrity and the demands on one's time never sort of ends, really, yeah, at that point of view. We'll hopefully be going to the Burley International Horse Trials in a few moments to speak to Eve Thomas, assuming telephonic links work. If not, we'll be just relying on audio postcards of the event. But Dave, back to Boole. Clearly there was a wonderful interview you did with Geoff Thompson, which is again available online, where Geoff goes in ways that only GT can, in terms of down your brain, I'd have to say, to quote a phrase of a show which one day I'm sure will be made on Sire.
If you mean I got a little bit longer to talk about it, yes, well, Alex, yes.
Exactly. But we said at the top of the show we'd say how things have been sort of moving on with that, and of course the website, which people inevitably will be turning around saying, well, how can we find it on the web? And the Boole Foundation as yet is currently, is it back online?
It's back online. Unfortunately, it had one of those sort of embarrassing outages for the last week or so that sometimes happen, especially when, if like us, you're on the cutting edge periphery of the things cyberspacey. It's up there. It can now take donations through the PayPal system and, more information than you can shake a stick at. It needs to be updated. It would have been if it hadn't been down the last week, because it hasn't got the up-to-date information about the sculpture on it, which it will do. And also the great news that Boole's biographer, Des McHale, is coming to Lincoln to give a talk as part of the Lincoln Book Festival. I believe that's on the 29th of September at the collection. But I need to get more information about that. And as soon as I do, that'll be up on the website. And I'm doing a few talks, one in the collection as well. That's in October. And I'm doing one to a U3A on the outskirts of Lincoln. So things are happening, and we're hoping to have a few competitions this autumn around his birthday, possibly a Boole competition, or pétanque, as some people know. It's also called. And we're probably going to have a Twitter haiku competition as well. So it's all happening or about to be happening. Oh yes, we're hoping to have a stall at the university, possibly for Freshers Week or maybe just after, where we'll be promoting Lincoln, George Boole, and offering fantastic t-shirts with the Lincolnshire flag and Cool Boole emblazoned across it. All sorts of things happening with www.lincolnboolefoundation.org.
Exactly so. It's easier if you use one of those updated search results. If you go through the old scenario, you might sort of be confused in terms of... You'll get to it. In fact, I've just typed in the... if you use the search engine beginning with G and ending in E, we think we know what we're talking about here, you can find all sorts of Google things there, including the Lincoln Boole Foundation with Dave Kenyon. That's the interview with Dave
at
Thompson.
At the top,
that's
yes. Exactly there as well. So Gobble is working then.
Exactly. It is indeed, although I probably suggest you need a different sort of search engine because the browser still gives us a... Maybe
that's only at the glorious university, I'm afraid. The rest of the world gets it in pure, unadulterated loveliness.
Well, there you go. Steve, so much good stuff coming in, obviously, with respect to your work with the MA Community Radio, with a whole range of other factors. Will you be squeezing in a bit of Boole as well yourself?
I will, actually, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Now we've reacquainted, yeah, let's pick up and let's go forward. Yeah,
precisely.
Putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Allen, I Believe in Love. Okay, moving on. Steve, after 44 minutes and 8 seconds of unexpected joy, it seems you're heading off to have this discussion and tête-à-tête with our very own Mills Meister, Ian. Don't tell another joke, please, Mills.
Yes, that's right, yeah. I've got to go and do that.
And he's in silicon chips and all the rest of his pieces. Thank you, Steve, for being part of the programme. Have you enjoyed first
I have, yeah, and it was a delight to meet Mr. Kenyon again, yeah.
Most people say that, really. You know? Not personal, but that's on his face. Jesus,
no, exactly, behind my back.
Exactly.
Yes, him, no.
Brilliant. Well, Dave will be sticking with us. We'll be speaking certainly to Jackson James from the band Avexan. Or is it Avexans? He's very confused. Sometimes he says, for ease, when he goes on stage, people just say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Avexans. It's technically Avexan. Well, quite literally, without.
Absolutely.
There we are. William Sitwell will be joining us as well. And Alan Stevens will be sharing with us his thoughts and views on the Peter Capaldi era of Doctor Who. Now we're into the second episode. Steve, we salute you. We will see you again, no doubt. Certainly in the Siren Studios and on the New Drive, and probably doing this MAN Community Radio, which is a whole new wonderful ballpark area to explore, develop. Finally, plug for Jesus Christ Superstar, your colleague. We said it at the top of the show. We'd actually just give him a shameless name check, because this is going to be also an exciting thing happening in 2015.
Yeah, I mean, this is going out next July. Keep an eye on it. The BBC are covering it extensively.
Initials there.
Yes.
Another broadcasting company, I think.
Yes, another broadcasting company. Yeah, exactly. Here we go. I've got to get back into this, haven't I?
You see? Thought, yeah.
I'll learn.
They'll be coming out. And it's happening where?
At the Cathedral, Lincoln mm-hmm. Cathedral.
Oh, very, yeah. Very apt in many ways, really.
Oh, very much so, yes. Planes, the glides are moving. Oh, looking for a new place to drive. You sit beside me, so new and charming.
The chauffeur, much beloved of Duranis everywhere. On Siren 107.3 FM, and of course beyond, online now from the International Land Rover Burley Horse Trials, which is where we'll be in about 24 hours from now. And indeed, she will be doing her first ever audio promenade in a celebrity sense. Of course, she's back with us after sensationally doing all sorts of things in terms of home fragrances, candles, scenarios, diffuser refills. It's the legend Eve Thomas. How are you, Eve?
I'm good, I'm back.
Hey. Well, when last we spoke, probably back in February, you were just going on holiday with your boyfriend, and we thought, well, you know, she'll be in touch when she gets back. And suddenly, it's the Burley International Horse Trials, and it's our anniversary eve from the first moment we first connected with her.
Flown by. Oh,
outrageous. There we are, and obviously, fabulous event. How's it looking? How's it shaping up? Is Burley House as wonderful as ever?
Oh, it's stunning. It's a little bit overcast this morning. But on the stand, I think it's even nicer than last year, if that's possible. Like, the quality, like, just looking around, like, all the avenues, it's absolutely stunning up here.
Wonderful. Now, we were very impressed with you last year, because one of the reasons we gave you your own slot as far as our companion package Southside Broadcast is concerned, and indeed on the Midweek Drive, is because you have taken the entrepreneur and that whole notion of entrepreneurship and just developed it phenomenally, because you came up with this whole notion of home fragrant candles, scented candles, handmade with natural soy wax. Share with the listener and our colleague in the studio, Dave Kenyon, exactly what magical things you've got with respect to this and why you have followed your dream and you've set up a phenomenally successful company.
Yeah, so it literally started from absolutely nothing. We just made a couple of candles on the kitchen hob, did a little little craft show on our doorstep, and got a trade order from it. And yeah, developed the brand within 24 hours. And now we're in John Lewis, we're going into Bentalls in Kingston on Thames, we're in most of Fenwick stores. John Lewis, Oxford Street are going to be stocking us this autumn, winter. So it's absolutely mad. Like, in 2 years, I can't believe it. Like, my full-time job now, and it started off as literally a hobby in the kitchen. So, well, very, very pleased.
That, and, of course, broadcasting commitments for Siren FM is another thing that adds to the whole sequence of that. So I take it your mum will be there at Burley as well?
Yeah, she's on the stand now. She is just tinkering and doing like fine little touches now, but we're pretty much there with it.
So where can we find you? People are listening to this and they're sort of umming and ahhing and they're saying, all right, well, we're making our way to the Burley Horse Trials. I mean, obviously in Burley, at Burley House and so on, and the signposts are always pretty good as you make your way to Stamford and work through that. But how can people actually find Eve Victoria Candles?
We're in the Rural Crafts Marquee. There's two Rural Crafts, but we're in the top marquee, so we're the one right in the centre where it's all happening. There's a big showground to the right of us, and there's all the food walk next to us. We're in the big Rural Crafts Marquee, smack bang in the middle, and ours is an open end, so you can't miss us. We're literally, as you're walking into the tent, we're the first one you see.
You see,
they can't miss this, I hope.
It's essential. We'll be touching base with some of our other regular correspondents. In fact, we'll be introducing you to them tomorrow, because Eve, not only have you actually set this whole thing up at Burley over the next few days, but tomorrow, as well as actually joining us to do a bit of an audio promenade and do some interviews with various other folk, etc., you're also off to Birmingham to set up another thing as well. So multitasking to insane levels. Just talk us through your weekends, Eve. What will you be doing over the next few days?
I'm leaving Burley tomorrow morning to go to the NEC in Birmingham to set up a trade show, which starts on Sunday, but I've got 2 days to build it up there. And that's hopefully where more retailers will come and hopefully stock our brand and our product. Mm-hmm. So that's how John Lewis and Bentall found us. So hopefully there'll be many more high street names coming to find us there in Little Independence as well.
I think it's only a matter of time. That, and of course, sounds in fact you can actually have a bit like Mary Berry with cakes, and obviously a lot younger than Mary Berry, doing the same thing with Spectre Candles. Dave, any questions?
Yes? I say I've seen Mary Berry at Hampton Court. Yes. She didn't buy anything off us, but I just see her.
Quite rightly so. She gets around, doesn't she? Anyway, Dave, any questions for Eve?
Well, and not so much a question, just an observation that it's great to hear of somebody having success and not having to go through the ignominy of Dragon's Den.
I'm too scared for that. I don't think I've got the guts to do it. So a lot of people have said, oh, I've got to do Dragon's Den, but I don't know.
Well, it won't be long before you could be the dragon.
Exactly.
I think we've got a way to go then. I could cope with someone to pull our business apart.
the thing is,
Eve
will sign it up for you to actually take over as one of the judges of one of the actual dragons. Although I can't really say, I mean, I suppose Welsh dragon, of course. There is that Welsh sassness in there, so we've got a precedent there from that point of view. So,
maybe one day.
We'll look to that. As we said, have you ever done an audio promenade before? Or are you looking forward to joining us tomorrow? Because, I mean, hopefully in about 24 hours from now, we'll have already been doing about half an hour of audio promenading, all being well. So are you looking forward to it, Eve?
I am. I'm nervous. I've never done anything like it before, so it'll be a new experience for me. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
It's okay. We'll sort of work our way through that whole process and things will be sensational. And so we've got the Gillick twins that I'm sure will be there, and we've got the usual sort of links with other fine top exhibitors, including Johnny Birdsall, who'll have a whole range of hats I'm sure he'll be demonstrating, plus a whole heap of others. I mean, it's everything that's fine with her. In fact, I mean, Burley International Horse Trials, you can even go there if you don't have any interest in horses whatsoever. Just do some early Christmas shopping, possibly checking out the Victoria Candles area, which, as we said, is
helps if you're Burley, of course.
It's a thought. If you're listening to this and you're not able to get to either Birmingham or the Burley Horse Trials, Burghley, evictoriacandles.co.uk is a website which is looking, I mean, I do like that, handmade in the Brecon Beacons. It's almost as though on the website you've got a whole selection of wonderful calming images that are actually there. I mean, Dave, if you wanted to sort of set in a subliminal line of images that just bring a moment's peace.
My favourite colour, so the lavender bit is fantastic.
The ylang ylang and lavender image. It's lovely, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Really pretty.
Wish that all mornings were like that.
The scent of sun with neroli, rose and sandalwood, whole range of other factors there. I feel as though it's taken the potter's wheel line that we used to actually have way before your time, Eve, on what used to be called the intermission. I think probably even before your mum's time, actually. And I actually worked through that. And yes, ylang ylang and lavender is actually there.
Wasn't that the Bay City Rollers? You're the sort of person
that
who knows
Shang-a-lang.
That,
that was Shang-a-lang.
Yeah, but
not ylang ylang.
Wasn't the chorus. The middle age.
There has indeed been a line called Ylang Ylang. We'll probably go into that, but not on the show today, Dave. So, story's all laid out. The punter's probably about to arrive. What are you looking forward to today, Eve? Is it a case of keep the smiles going, keep entertaining the customers, and magical things will happen?
I hope so, and saying hopefully we have a lot of customers who we met last year coming back. That's why it's like for a second year in shows now. We're doing shows where people are coming back to us year after year, so that's lovely. So hopefully we'll get a couple of returning customers. That's always really nice, and yes, nice boost when people say they love our products after last year.
Absolutely. And just in terms of setting up the whole process, we talk about you setting up there, and there is this sort of notion that, oh, it's a show, fine, you turn up, you maybe get along there for about 8 o'clock in the morning and everything's set up and running. I mean, just talk us through the kind of planning you've had to do to actually get over to the show in Burley, obviously looking at various other bits and pieces from the Brecon Beacons. You know, how much does it actually take in terms of lorries, shifting, all of that material in terms of product and so on? What's the schedule?
Squeezing it all onto the van is always the tricky bit, because we've got two shows as well. We've got two lots of all the furniture and all the dresses and the counters we use. We've got two lots of that on our van. So squeezing it all on, we have to be really strict with what to take and what not to take. Usually we just always put a couple of extra bits in, you know, just in case. But we've had to literally meticulously plan everything. Everything's got its own slot in the van, because we'd never fit it all in. So that's been a bit of a logistical nightmare this time round. But because they're two big shows as well, we've got bigger stands. But yes, we got here Wednesday, so we started setting up then. No, it's not Wednesday, Tuesday we got here, sorry. Yeah. And then we finished it all off yesterday, so it's 2 days of building up the stand. It is hard work, but hopefully the result's worth it. I'm just going to post a photo online onto our Facebook and Twitter page now, actually, so if people want to have a look at that and see what we've done in 2 days.
And I'll make sure that I like it probably during the actual programme itself as it develops, because in the second hour we're joined by Jack St. James from the band of Exile. We've got Alan Stevens talking about his thoughts, and they're pretty good, without giving too much away, pretty good about it. I mean, you wouldn't have had a chance to watch any of the Doctor Who stuff with Peter Capaldi, because you've probably been too busy on the road, Eve, is that right?
Oh, I haven't seen telly for ages. I'm missing Great British Bake Off, though.
It's the ultimate sacrifice, but it'll all prove worthwhile in the end. Eve, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
I have. I'm glad to be back.
And we're glad to have you back. So, Eve Thomas, can we look forward to connecting with you again, ooh, let's say in 24 hours from now?
Yep, that sounds great.
Yay! Eve Thomas from Eve Victoria Candles. She will return. Hurrah!
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent. Highs today, 21 degrees centigrade. Lows of 14 degrees centigrade. A dry day with reasonable cloud levels. Overall, a bit of a cloudy day, but with sunny intervals. There we are. So it's always important. And bringing the sunny interval that is CaldorCity.com and Magic Bullet Productions to the fore, it's Alan Stevens. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Very good indeed, Alan. I mean, we have I've already had Steve Watson in the studio, and we have Dave Kenyon with us again, sharing the delights of Boole and Boole Fest and so on. And now, after last week's obviously epic scenario where I think we were sort of thinking, well, difficult to actually tell, suddenly the Doctor went into the Dalek, quite literally, so did Clara, so did a whole heap of others, and I sense positive vibes from your good self, Alan.
Yes, I thought it was excellent. Yeah, I thought the effects were very well done, and yeah, an excellent performance from Peter Capaldi and Clara, whose character has suffered over the last few years by not having one, has developed and is coming on. You know, he's had some grounding now, and also it was quite nice when she had the sort of smart aleck line, which sort of fell flat. It made it look a bit more realistic, as opposed to just being a collection of, you know, smart aleck lines and not much else.
So,
with big improvements on all character fronts. Excellent story, very, very well directed. All the performances are great, effects are excellent. I loved it.
Does this mean that it actually sort of emerges as one of the all-time Alan Stevens favourites in terms of the Doctor Who canon, equivalent to, dare I say it, the Graham Harper-directed Caves of Androzani and more?
Well, I would say that I don't believe in the Doctor Who canon, because there are so many things concerning Doctor Who, like books and comic strips and CDs and stuff, that I don't know at all. I mean, and so I'm very familiar with the show, and if you were to say, what is Doctor Who canon, I would say Doctor Who canon is Caldor City, Doctor Who TV show, Faction Paradox CDs that I was involved in, and nothing else. And someone else would say, well, I think Faction Paradox is not canon, and that Big Finish is canon, and that bits of a TV show is canon. So people just, they have their own idea of what, you know, what the show is. So I can't say it is that. But I would say that, you know, it was an excellent story. It certainly had, I think, said it something a bit new about Doctor Who, which is not something you normally get. Usually it's sort of the same sort of stuff being said over and over again. And it was quite a nasty thing as well, wasn't it? It was that the Doctor had looked into his own soul, or a Dalek, or asked the Dalek to look into his own soul. And the Dalek said, yeah, great, hatred. So the Dalek went off and killed lots of Daleks. And the Doctor quite rightly said, well, that's what Daleks do, isn't it? They kill. And
it's like the scorpion who hitched on the back of a frog across the river, and the frog said, no, no, no. And he went against his judgment. The scorpion stung him, and the frog died. And with his dying words, he said, but why? He said, the scorpion, he's only true to his nature. Anyway, there we are. Different lines.
I thought that, that's an interesting idea. I think, the thing is, the Doctor wanted the Daleks. He wanted to prove to himself that he was correct. He states in this story that he was called a Doctor, but he didn't really know who he was in an unearthly child back in 1963. And then he met the Daleks and thought, I know I am. I'm not a Dalek. You know, I'm in opposition to these guys. These guys are evil, and that kind of makes me, fighting them, a moral hero. And then, of course, so he carries on basically doing exactly what he did before, but now he was a good guy, which is it's an interesting idea. You know, I oppose some things, so therefore that thing is evil, and therefore I am good, and I am good in everything I do. I mean, Doctor Venn later went on and almost killed someone by hitting him with a spade, didn't they, in Reign of Terror?
You can only know what you are by knowing what you are not. It's a
well,
classic
he thought
way.
He wasn't, but he thought he wasn't a Dalek, and really he had taken on. By fighting something, he's taken on elements of the Daleks. He wants to destroy them, and they want to destroy everything else. Dalek defines itself by being good, and everything else being evil and needing extermination. And the Doctor, effectively, as far as the Daleks are concerned, defines himself as good, and the Daleks are evil, and them requiring extermination. So, it's an interesting... It's a brave move by the Doctor Who production team, because that has been the tension between the Doctor and the Daleks for, since, let's go back to 63 again, it has always been there in one form or another, either as a subtext or as a, as the text. It became the text, for example, in Remembrance of the Daleks, where the Doctor sets a trap for the Daleks and blows up their planet and the entire solar system. Fighting the Daleks doesn't make you good. And the soldiers we met in this story on Saturday weren't remotely good. They were actually fascists.
They were, indeed.
And the SSS back in 1966, the title alone, they had jack boots, black uniform, and they called the SSS, and they fought the Daleks. And they were fascists as well.
And generally, we would say, even on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, fascism, not good. But there we are.
No, fascism, not good.
Anyway, moving on from that point of view, because we will be introducing you to Dave Kenny in a few moments once again. Heads up from John Wenham, who has sent in a little email saying it's important to plug this event that's taking place at Linden Books, fabulous area for Balegate up in Lincoln. And on Saturday the 13th of September, you can actually meet the author of Water and Sky. That's Neil Sentence. Nice name for an author, Neil Sentence. You can obtain an original and haunting blend of nature writing, memoir and historical fiction from this individual that takes a nostalgic but unsentimental look at the Lincolnshire of the author's own past. I'll go in further than that. Neil Sentence is joining us in this time slot next week, Alan. So there we are. Neil Sentence will be on the show. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, precisely. So you can meet him actually at Linden Books on Saturday the 13th of September. You can also actually hear him in conversation with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition next Thursday. A little heads up there. Dave, from what Alan was saying there in terms of what's probably best described as almost Jungian analysis of the Doctor and this brave step forward. Was that what you had in mind when you were photographing the actor who was the voice, or one of the voices, of K-9?
Not at all. No, postmodernism hadn't hit, so all this strangeness passed me by. Oh, and I'm not sure I'm up with it at all now. No, Doctor Who's vagaries do seem like another planet to me. Mm. Yes,
mm. It certainly provides a wealth of information and entertainment on a Saturday night evening. But you were around, presumably, for the William Hartnell series, Dave.
Yes. So for me, really, it all does go back to hiding behind the settee when the Daleks first appeared, and
just a sink plunger.
Everything since then, really. If I'm honest, has passed me by. I think the standard of special effects generated by virtue of good old George Boole, another plug there, they're obviously much more engaging than a sink plunger. But
No, the sink plungers are still there.
Yeah. Well,
they've been there since 1963 and there now.
I think you might find that when there's multiple of them floating in the sky, they've been stuck there by a computer.
Multiple sink plungers floating in the sky. I think one of the reason why the Daleks have been so successful over the years is partly because, you know, kids can actually be a Dalek. You know, you can go into your mum's kitchen and you can get an egg whisk. You can go upstairs and get the sink plunger, and you can sort of talk in a voice like that, you know, and you can play around being a Dalek. I think that, you know, monsters made out of recognisable or similar household objects.
What you're not mentioning there, of course, is you can put a frock on as well, so that people can't see your feet.
You could put a frock on, and you could sort of like. What else could you stick on it? You could stick golf balls all over it, couldn't you? It'd be great. You'd actually be a Dalek. Yeah, when I was a kid, we used to play Daleks, and I remember one kid brought a sink plunger to school, and we all said, oh, my God.
We all played The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, it's boring.
You're obviously not as old as myself.
Well, I remember it. Napoleon Solo, and I remember all that.
And Guy Ritchie's remake is due out in January 2015. So there we are.
I wouldn't say it was postmodern. It's what I actually appear to be doing, you know, at the moment, is the Dalek story was saying that there is such a thing as an objective truth.
I would go back to your Jacques Derrida. I think you find that they're working over exactly those sorts of ideas of. Being defined through what you're not, as well as trying to find what you are.
Oh, excellent.
That's very Derridan.
Derridan's dead.
Next week, of course, he meets Robin Hood. That is the Peter Capaldi incarnation of the Doctor and Clara, actually.
Well, this week he meets him, doesn't he?
Yes, it's always
Saturday,
time.
It's Saturday this week,
isn't it? This, you're quite right.
When does the change take place? When does it become next week?
I always like to think that, in a sense, next week is probably Sunday, really.
I think a lot of people think it's Monday because it's sort of working day, but I think it's Sunday, isn't it?
I suspect it depends on your religion, doesn't it?
That's very true. Obviously, we could start off on a Friday, which is a whole range of things entirely, as far as that's
concerned. Or your language. What do French call Sunday?
That's very true.
What do the Russians call it?
You see, these are the kind of crucial things.
Time to take up arms.
Yes, Vladimir Putin will clearly sort of want to find out. But are you looking forward to that, given that it's written by Mark Gatiss?
Well, the problem is that, on the one hand, Mark Gatiss has improved. I just think he's terribly patronising, doesn't it? You know, there he is, working for the BBC, and all this stuff, and there's me, you know, who's got a few CDs saying, well, I think he's improved, but it's true. Sorry. Yeah, he has improved. I think when he did that story, what was it called last year? The Crimson Horror. That was actually very funny and very well done. Mm. So, you know, based on that, hopefully it will be okay. Do you mean? And also, there does appear to be, you know, Doctor Who does appear to have upped its game quite a lot this season. You know,
and they seem to have lost those newly designed Daleks that they encountered with Winston Churchill and company a wee while ago.
But I'd also like to point out, by the way, that there's a lot more killing in Doctor Who on Saturday, and I think it's because they've moved the show forward half an hour. Isn't it? It's amazing what half an hour can do.
It's a later time slot, certainly.
Yeah, it's allowed it to murder more people. Yeah. Good. The Daleks paradigm. Yeah, the paradigm Daleks. They were not popular. They came out in 2010 with great fanfare.
Raymond Cusick's estate were very upset about the whole thing.
Their nation estate didn't like them. Raymond Cusick thought they were terrible. The audience thought they were Nazi Daleks and Power Ranger Daleks. The people who were operating them didn't like them because they were so big and unwieldy, they were really difficult to move. Directors didn't like them because they only made three angles you could photograph it from, which actually made it look good. And Mark Gatiss, who actually wrote the story, didn't like them because he thought they should be a bit more like the film Daleks, and it suggested a colour code, which is gold, black, blue and red, not, you know, orange, green, and what's that. And so he hated that hump on the back, you know, what happened was a guy called, he basically been asked to redesign the Daleks, and he does drawing, which was fair enough. And then the BBC took that drawing and took it along to a company they had built Daleks for and said, build that. I mean, there was no blueprints, there was no idea of scale or anything.
And it's not and good, so, given the obesity crisis, that you suddenly actually go for fat Daleks, is it, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even intend to be that big, because he was basing on the Shawcross. You know,
is it just me, or is there an essence of cuddliness about the Daleks? That's just wrong.
Oh, yeah, they just looked horrible. I mean, anyway, they had each different department make it, and then they put it together, and it didn't fit together, and it was front heavy, wasn't it, and fat and cumbersome.
Yeah, actually, they look a bit like Robbie the Robot from the front, don't
they?
Well,
I think Robbie the Robot is really, really good, but the Daleks...
It's a design classic Robbie the Robot, really, you know.
Yeah, they didn't sort the Robbie the Robot, you're right. I think, what else is wrong with it? They look front heavy, and they kind of look as if they're about to fall over. And they look terrible from the side, because they made them so big. The arm stick and the gun stick look like really spindly. And it's a horrible, horrible, horrible design. Anyway, the BBC released it, and there were petitions written by thousands and thousands of people.
It got a lot of folk very upset. I mean, Dave, I'm surprised you weren't actually inveigled into a campaign to actually bring back the original design Dalek. Really.
If I was the executive producer, I'd be laughing all the way to the bank. That's all I can say.
Well, what happened?
We want lots of annoyed people ringing.
Well, I don't know. It didn't work. You know, they say that there's no such thing as bad publicity, but this actually was bad. They released loads of toys and stuff, and no one bought them. They accidentally drove a truck over one of the Daleks.
They'll be worth in 20 years' time. So
sorry?
Probably.
So the
DG, who's got several thousand of them in his garage, is laughing.
I don't know. I think he just has several thousand toys no one wants.
What
happened was that they decided that these things were a failure. And so they did a story called Asylum of the Daleks, where they did appear again, but very much in the background. And although they did actually redesign the base as well and reduce that hump, but they also darkened the colour then, because another thing that people hated was a sort of very, very bright sort of Power Ranger colours they had. So they were put very much in the background. And then there's been one, two, three stories recently featuring the Daleks, and these Paradigm Daleks haven't appeared at all.
No.
So I think they've just, you know, quietly
faded away.
Them. Yeah.
You know, old Daleks don't exterminate, they simply fade away. Dave, it's again part and parcel of the rich tapestry of life that we haven't fulfilled that line of where did you get involved with the canine side? Because I know you once said when we were sharing about Doctor Who memories that you once did a photograph for a Spotlight casting directory for
exactly many years ago as a jobbing photographer. One of the jobs I got was to photograph the guy who at the time was the voice of K9. And I remember we went into a park and lit this gentleman very favourably, and it went into Spotlight, which some of your listeners may not know was this enormous book full of talent.
It's online
but of course
now,
it's
of course.
Online now. Yeah. Why? Because of good old George Boole.
Sorry?
It's online because of George Boole. Yes.
It wouldn't be online otherwise. So you basically... If it's digital, it's down to George. There's a strap line for you.
DNA. Well done, George. Yeah,
the DNA of digitality, as Dave Kenyon is prone to say every so often.
I use Spotlight a lot, actually. You can phone them up as well, they look stuff up. I got a lot of actors through Spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. You see, it still works today.
Yes, you can tell whether they claim to be able to ride a horse, which is not quite the same as actually being able to ride a horse, but... You know, it's all in there.
Many's the Caldor City production Magic Bullet that's involved having to get the actors literally on horseback to actually work through them. I recall Paul Darrow being very keen to obviously get on horseback when
Paul
he brought
could
it to the studio.
He could ride a horse, I believe.
Probably still can.
Well, exactly.
I think we're going off on a different tangent here. We need to sort of bring it back neatly. So, Alan...
I remember Michael Kilgariff saying that he appeared in the Three Musketeers, which also had... Oh, no, I forgot his name there. What was his name there? Very well-known actor, drunk all the time. Oh, bloody
well, not Ollie Reed.
Oliver Reed, thank you. Thank you very much.
How did I get that from your description?
Well, I just drunk all the time. Oliver Reed, yeah, and Oliver Reed said, he turned to Michael Gareth and said, you look like a sack of spuds on that horse. Gah. And then got on the horse himself, and the horse ran off. And Oliver, he was screaming as it ran over loads of fences and ran off, and he fell off the horse. I felt really good about that. So, anyway.
And that's just part of the wondrous message of life. You can go and actually download lots of audio treats and indeed find out a magical range of the world from Magic Bullet Productions by going to caldorcity.com. Alan, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes.
And are you up for joining us again? Probably next week for a slightly short time, but nevertheless a little pricey on your excitement. And I'm sure it will be excitement after seeing the Robin Hood episode of Doctor Who. I'm thinking maybe we should actually sort of pitch a script to Stephen Moffat as showrunner, of course, as we were featuring Tara Bennett, his latest book, Showrunners. The companion to the series is also available. But maybe the pitch would actually be where the Doctor meets Boole. There we are.
There was a rumour, wasn't there, recently that Moffat was being replaced. Yes. By another guy, wasn't it? What was his name?
Some other
Anthony,
guy. Horowitz?
Yes, that's right.
Well, there we
but
are.
Apparently isn't true.
Well, no, I figure that. I mean, although he's a very brisk writer and prolific writer, is Mr. Horowitz, and some might well say very good writer. And, of course, creator of a whole range of scenarios. No, he might sort of submit a script, but to what they. We're still hearing that Peter Jackson might be up for directing one of the Doctor Who's in the near future.
Well, that's possible. I mean, they've got a very good director at the moment who did that brilliant series, Field in England, or film. Field in England. Have you seen that? Psychedelic film set in.
Exactly. Tragically, Graham Harper's still working on Hollyoaks. I say tragically. I'm sure he's having a good time on Hollyoaks.
Sure he's having a great time. Anthony Horowitz did Time Traveller, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, it was terrible, wasn't it?
Well, there we are.
I think it would be a shame to get rid of Moffat now, having actually he's finally getting it right after about 3 years, you know.
There we are, you see. It's
been like season 26. Remember season 26? Just to get it right, make comfortable show.
Exactly.